everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Star Wars Report Podcast. This is episode 45. A lot of them. A lot of them behind our belt. But I'm one of your hosts for this evening. I'm Riley Blanton. So glad that you decided to tune into this particular Star Wars podcast. 1 hour of Star Wars goodness and Avengers goodness. We'll get to that. We'll get to our Avengers review after the show, the after show. But I'm looking forward to that a little bit more than the rest of the news we got. But before we get into all that, let's introduce our panel for this particular podcast episode. First, we've got my sister and your co-host, as always, Bethany.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back as usual. Sorry if I look kind of tired, exhausted, sweaty,
That's
dirty,
right.
and filthy.
Because you look, yes.
Because I was working out. And
I think you look great. And I think because
sure.
because this system works, I think everybody on camera looks great. And Mark will get you on one of these days, too, when we figure out the roundabout Skype video thing. And speaking of him, you hear him chuckling in the background. There he is, Mark Hurlman.
The chuckling baboon in the back. And his friendly little astromech.
As always. And joining us in just a few minutes to talk about his experience at the Star Wars Identities exhibit is Andrew Halliday from ucantina.net. We'll be getting to that in just a moment. But before anything else, the rapid fire news segment. We have something to report. Listen.
A quick interjection. Can you check our audio levels? Chat room says you and I are fairly quiet.
Yes. If you can take all the news.
Yes.
Okay. What's our first news story?
Well, you're supposed to be playing the retro Star Wars and you trailer, but I will start with other celebrations.
I have limits. I can only do so. My hands can only touch so many buttons,
yep.
Which is why I'm realizing that
it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Exactly.
It just occurred to me that holding the microphone is probably not a good idea. All right. There you go, chat room.
All right, both Boba Fetts will be attending Celebration. We have both Daniel Logan and Jeremy Bullock. Also, the As You Wish project will be done with Boba Fett's helmet. So they did a really cool selection of Darth Vader helmets at C5, I believe.
Yes.
And this year it will be Boba Fett. Everyone's,
you know what
most
I'm about
everyone's
to say, right?
favorite bounty hunter.
Boba Fett. Boba Fett. Let's see. Also, speaking of Celebration 6 guest news, Carrie Fisher and Joel Aaron will be attending, as well as Dave Filoni, Dickie Beer, and John Morton. They are all currently confirmed as guests. We've also got a number of fan tables and a really cool little video.
News from today. Peter Mayhew, Tim Rose, Trevor Butterfield.
Wait,
Nick
today?
Nick Maley, yes, Paul Springer, all will be attending Celebration 6.
You kind of sprung that on me. Get it? Springer? Okay.
It's a trap!
Everyone's talking about the science fiction event of the future. Star Wars Celebration 6. But with so many activities, where's the average Joe or Jane to start? Why not kick off your day at the attraction Stellar Art Show? Even bring home your own sci-fi masterpiece. Jimmy,
all right. Wrapping that up. You can only barely hear it. It's because of the computer. But yes, they have a rather funny retro review.
Also up on the list of news is a new Star Wars registered trademark, Star Wars 1313 or 1313 or 1313. If however you wish to pronounce.
Or January 13, 2013.
Yes, that is Roku Depot's guess. But basically, Lucasfilm has registered this as a trademark. And according to Roku Depot, they think that it means January 1st, 2013. Roughly 8 months from now.
So another.
What could be so big that they would planning it 8 months out? Interesting. And their guess is, possibly, the Attack of the Clones 3D. Wow, my voice just changed in my head.
I know, playing with your settings there. No, that's too late. I think that's
Really?
They'll announce it at Celebration. Mark my words.
Well, announce it at Celebration, yes, but that could be the date that it comes out.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Anyway, handy-dandy little article at lightsaberrattling.blogspot.com. Pete, thank you for collecting this news.
The chat's telling me to put the buttons down. Put it down. All right. all right. Where were we? Speaking of news, we have a gentleman just now joining us. And actually, he's been patiently waiting for the past half hour. But for the purposes of the podcast, just now joining us live is on the breaking news of this Star Wars Identities exhibit. Actually, it's been a long time in production, and we're very glad to have him on. Andrew Halliday, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. How are you doing today, Andrew?
I'm all right. Can't complain. It's weather's bad up here in Canada, but it's I'm doing all right.
All right. Excellent. I know you were playing some Old Republic when I last talked to you a little bit ago. So you're a tour player?
Yes, I am. I've been playing since about the end of February. And I've actually just started writing about it too for EU Cantina. There's a new column there that I've started writing on this subject.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, we're not here to talk about the Old Republic. We're here to talk about Star Wars Identities. And I'll kick you off with a starting question. What on earth is Star Wars Identities? Wrapped in mystery for many. I've had a hard time understanding exactly what the exhibit means. So, what's your overall impression? What is it?
Well, in general, it's two things. Star Wars Identities is an exhibit starting at the Montreal Science Center in Montreal, and it's teaching kids and teaching everybody about what identity means, what it is to be you, what it is to be who anyone is, and it uses Star Wars as a medium to convey that. So it's teaching things about all the little factors that make me who I am, make you who you are. And on the other side, it's also a museum of Star Wars lore. It's got artifacts, it's got dresses and clothing and everything, sets, costumes, and production pieces and concept art. It's beautiful.
What was your favorite thing? Just right off the bat, if you had to pick one favorite thing, what was your favorite thing?
Can I say two? Because there's two.
Sure.
No.
Always
two favorite things.
Always
favorite thing.
Yes. They had the armor that David Prowse wore as Darth Vader. And they also had, and there's a picture, I did not put this in the article, but there was a picture that I took of me kneeling before the Dark Lord. And they also had if you remember from episode 3, in Palpatine's office, there's a great, somewhere on the wall, there's a piece of art that's like a stone carving that depicts the Great Hyperspace War, which is one of my favorite periods in the wars. And they had that set piece, that piece of art, on display, and I got a good picture of that, and it's my background now on my face or on my windows here. But so those were my two favorite pieces.
Wow! Wow! So would you call it an educational program per se?
Oh, definitely. As you went through, you had some of the exhibits that were just talking about how the show is made and seeing artifacts, but then you also have. You'd kind of be adventuring through and seeing how every little thing in your life affects you, starting with your genetics and how your parents raise you and who your mentors are and your friends are and any major activities in your or major events in your life and really what effect they have. And it also teaches about the basic things in psychology that psychologists, I suppose, use to describe identity. So they actually took every character in the show or every character in the movies and determined who their mentors were, who their friends were, any sort of big event in their life that was a identity shaping moment, and then scored them using five interesting traits that were openness, extroversion, okay, agreeableness, conscientiousness, and neuroticism. And basically, each character was scored those. And And then throughout the day, you'd basically be able to figure out your own scores on these as well and determine what your own identity is like.
So what were you like?
Good question.
Well, that's a very good question.
A peek into the soul.
I actually posted my score on the like my sheet on the article there. But for example, mine was that I pay a lot. You know, I'm very much a plan ahead kind of guy, planning things weeks to months in advance. Little things can sometimes get to me. And I'm much better by myself, working by myself, as opposed to being in large groups. So I had a very low extroversion, but a very high conscientiousness. And things
so
like
this is basically kind of like a glorified personality profile that you would take for like a job.
In a way, yes.
It's kind of military-esque, cool. Yeah. ASFAB, after the ASFAB, you go into your personality profile and they say, no, we don't want you in this position, we want you in this position. So kind of I wonder if stormtroopers had to do that.
I don't know.
Possibly.
I wonder if that's in any of the books. I would imagine that technically speaking that would happen, but I wonder if that's actually put into any of the novels or comics. That would be interesting to see. And I entirely digress, but how large is the exhibit? Like when you go there, are you expecting some massive museum that will take you hours to traverse from one end to the next, or just kind of a few rooms with a lot of stuff in them that's cool, but you could spend as much or as little time looking at it?
Well, the exhibit's website says that it takes about 90 minutes on average to complete. It took me about 120, but that was just a matter of I kept going back to things. I wanted to wait for good pictures. I reread several things. They had throughout the exhibit these videos that were on a loop so that if you missed or if you arrived at the video screen halfway through, then you could walk away and then just come back when it was when it had reset. So I did that quite a few times, and that adds up. But it takes about, an hour and a half to 2 hours.
That's neat.
Cool. Well, is it something that – is it specifically Lucasfilm, or who organized it specifically?
Lucasfilm was one of the main contributors. After all of the artifacts in the museum are the originals. So they have to be involved in some way in that point. But I'm actually not too sure what the main company it was. I believe it's a specific organization that does these museum events, which is why, and it's not specific to the Montreal Science Center because it's a traveling exhibit.
Makes sense. Well, is it the kind of thing where you'd be interested in going again, or in wrapping, would you recommend this exhibit if it were to come stateside?
I would. If I find myself in Montreal again, I will definitely go again. I think it's going to be there until the fall. The next stop for it is the TELUS Science Center in Edmonton. It's the TELUS something or other. It could be, but it's in Edmonton, Alberta. Following that, they do have sort of coming soon slots for where its next locations are going to be. I imagine it's eventually going to go to the United States.
Okay.
If it does, I wholeheartedly recommend anyone goes. Frankly, if you're within easy driving distance of the border, come on up. It may be strange that it's in Montreal. You might think that you wouldn't be able to get around because it's in French, but the identities exhibit is fully bilingual, and frankly, so is the city. So you'd be able to anyone would be able to get by.
Oh, okay,
cool, excellent, Andrew. Yeah. Thank you so much for swinging by and preparing that report. And I know you have a written one. Where can people find it?
People can find the written one on www.eucantina.net. And it's a couple pages back in the archives now, but that's where they can find it.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, I have to scroll past some of the other controversy. That's all we'll say there. All right, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be talking to you soon, man.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on again.
Andrew Halliday. And so it begins. All right. Star Wars Identities. Thumbs up from Andrew Halliday. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about some Clone Wars. I'm going to manipulate the audio, and so help me, I will have to turn the gain way up on the mixer, but you guys will be able to both hear and see the trailer if all goes as planned. So here we go. This is the Clone Wars Season 5 teaser. Let's take a look. All right. Lucasfilm logo. In a world. It doesn't want to do it. All right, we're going to talk over it. Okay, so we've got...
Darth Maul. Ships.
Chabaz Impress.
Stars. Ships. Fighting lightsabers, bounty hunters, Bo-Katan, and
epic action.
Yes. Oh, can you turn that down, Riley? Clone Wars logo. So basically, Mandalorians and Darth Maul.
That was the trailer exactly.
Wow, that's cool.
Oh my goodness! All right, so yeah, that was the Clone Wars Season 5 trailer. We've got some images, and we're gonna just briefly analyze Season 5. So let's talk about it. Mark, your first impression. And go.
I'm kind of ready to be done with teaser trailers. I don't know. I think the time has sailed. The ship is gone, and I'm stuck in the middle of the ocean going, I want more. I mean, I don't know. They were fun the first year. They were really exciting the second year. But now, by come fifth year, I'm just like, when's the meat? You know? I mean, it's not shocking. I know Darth Maul's in here because last season it was, oh my gosh, there's Darth Maul. A picture of Darth Maul got me freaked out. But now I know he's there. So it's like, I want a story. I don't really care about the teaser anymore myself. I don't know. Maybe that's just like a me thing. But I think a lot of people are kind of coming that way.
Will a trailer change your mind, or just trailers in general?
No, I love a good trailer. But it's got to tell the story, or at least give me an idea of where it's going for me to get excited. And I think that's like a lot of people with last season. You know, they saw Darth Maul, and they were all excited, and then they felt like, whoa, that was a letdown with all the hype. It's like, what hype are we talking about? They gave you a teaser trailer, and fandom freaked out. Lucasfilm wasn't really freaking out that much. And then they're like, oh, these people are really freaking out. Hey, guess what? We got more stuff. You know, I don't know. To me, it was just one of those things where it was like they gave you what you wanted. At this point, I need some plot. I need to really I want to know where we're going. I mean, you got me hooked last season when Maul came back.
We could distill some and we can play what everybody else always does with these trailers and speculate. Does that sound like a good idea? Let's do it. All right.
Wow.
Because why not get hyped up? So we are brothers, true lords of the Sith. And that is Darth Maul and his brother, Savage Opress. So I sense an insurrection. You got to see kind of Darth Maul choke, the Twi'lek with his bro by his side, as they're saying. The fighters were just Jedi fighters, not.
There's a bigger plot involved there. I mean, because the Jedi know that there were two Sith. They know that Maul was one of them. And then they were always like, well, did we get the Master or did we get the Apprentice? And then later they kind of played up on there's a Lord Tyrannus out there somewhere kind of thing. And they were closing in on Darth Sidious. But now that we got these two kind of openly posing as Sith Lords, it does make me wonder what the Jedi are going to do with that information. I mean, there is an interesting plot developing just in that alone. It would be kind of scary, though, if they decided to run with it and go, oh, well, we got Savage and we got Maul. The Sith threat, it's ended, because we got books that the Jedi weren't thinking that way. So I'm very curious to see how they kind of wrap up that little circle they've got themselves.
Well, I mean, you could see... Darth Maul and I think and his brother Savage are going to play a bigger role in season 5, and quite honestly, beyond from the looks of it.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see where you could. I don't want to get too hyped up, but when he says we're brothers, true lords of the Sith, I think that's pretty intentional. He's saying as opposed to that Jedi now Sith poser Count Dooku is kind of what is the general sense that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you gotta wonder why they went with Sith over Knight Brothers. I mean, you know, is there a reason why they're relating more to the Sith than the Knight Brothers?
Exactly, forgetting about their heritage a little bit there. yeah, I can see that. Although, so the other significant portion of the trailer and the screenshots, and of course, this is just a teaser to the thing that's showing at Star Wars Weekends right now. It'll probably be another week or two, and we'll get the actual meat. But we also have Bo-Katan is back, and Pre Vizsla is also back. So Mandos,
I'm glad to see the Mandalorians return. I was really happy to see Katie Sackhoff coming into Star Wars and into the Clone Wars as a voice, and I really like her as an actor and as a voice actress. But there wasn't really a whole lot of her. So I hope they really use the character of Bo-Katan, because I think she's capable of making a very interesting, complex character out of the Mandalorian. And I would like to see that. I don't want to just see...
A lot more than this past season, I'll say.
I don't want to just see either, here are the peaceful Mandalorians, and here are the bad guys who are trying to chase everyone and trying to kill everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that she could pull that off as a Mandalorian who... It seems more like a traditional Mandalorian, not just completely a bad guy who doesn't just, hey, I'm the bad guy and chase people. Rawr. Rawr. Did I mention I'm the bad guy? Rawr.
Yeah. And Katie, it would be really interesting to see a strong female villain besides Ventress, which hasn't really happened in the Clone Wars yet. So I would be all for that.
That's true.
I really want to see a large scale Mandalorian assault at some point, because we kind of got that sense ever since A New Hope. We got the idea that, man, there might actually be a real Mandalorian assault, a full scale Mandalorians versus Jedi, hundreds of them, kind of. But you know, we've never seen that on screen, and I would be very pleased if that showed up in season 5.
What's our running time right now, Riley?
We're at 22. We're doing well.
Okay. What would be one thing, Mark, that season 5 could have in it that would have you really excited about season 5? Just like, oh man, can't wait till this episode comes, or this set of episodes. I just can't wait. What would that be?
I'm hesitant to say it, because it's one of those things where it's like, if they did it, I'd be just as leery, like, no, don't. But I would love to see more Republic Commandos. Even if they don't use the ones that are characterized in the books, I think I'd probably prefer that. But I want to see those character models. I want to see something done with those clones. Like I said, it doesn't at all have to be, you know, the Nulls, the Omegas, or the Deltas. It could be some new group. You know, I would be totally okay with the Zi Kappa Gamma, you know.
Yeah. That's another group that I think could deserve a little bit more screen time. How about you, Bethany? Any particular ones?
I would really like to see the character of Asajj Ventress continue on her current arc. She really got interesting these last couple of episodes of season 4. And really, I would like the Clone Wars to either follow stories or follow characters. And I think that they have a good enough set of characters and writers to where they could really follow them well. Instead of just like, oh, hey, we need to save this planet, and that's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on this planet. Or, oh, hey, we need to save this senator or that queen or that person, and that's the focus of the plot. We can build character by having a villain of the week style, but I would be happy if the Clone Wars turned into more of an overarching character story.
You mean like some through drive with actual plots that connect to each other from episode to episode?
That, or even if they didn't really connect. If you're a cop, you're not necessarily going to have a super villain that you're chasing all the time. You're going to have a couple of bad guys you go after, you catch them, or you don't, and that's that. You don't really see them again. So you can do... have either of you two heard of the show Rizzoli and Isles?
Yes.
Not at all.
Okay. Basically, it's a female cop show. And I've seen a little bit of the episodes, but not really much. I saw some at my grandma's. But the story follows two female cops and some of their friends. One's a cop, one's a medical doctor with the police department. And they sometimes have a villain who comes back and has a grudge against them because they, along with their team, caught him once upon a time when he was let out of jail. So that, in a way, was an overarching plot. But typically, what would happen is it's following the storyline of the characters. One of the women finds out that her father wasn't who she thought he was. So that's like an ongoing plot throughout the season. It's not necessarily their work as police officers, and they have a villain that takes up the whole season, but it follows the story of the characters. The characters are what tie it together. because the focus is on the characters and not on the story, not on the bad guy of the week.
Yeah.
Excellent. So a lot like Supernatural in that regard, where, you know, there is a vampire slash villain of the week, but the character story is what's driving the viewer.
Exactly. Yes. So I would be happy if the Clone Wars did that. Other than that, I would like to see them handle Darth Maul well. And that's kind of up to the viewer as to what you think is handled well.
That's extremely subjective.
Exactly.
But yeah. I'm right there with you. I want to see the depth of character. I think that's why I'm a little leery of the teasers and stuff. You know, I don't want gimmicky characters. And by that, a lot of times I'm referring to one and dones. They're great, but then they're the one and done. And you're just like, really? Oh, man. And yeah, they were able to drag Krell's one and done out to a 4-episode arc, but at the end of the day, he was only a one plot and he was out of their character. I'd like to see a little bit more.
I mean, Krell was, I think, an important part of the Clone Wars, and they made a really good point with his character, but you're right. At the end of the day, he was a 4 and done, I guess. Is what or 5 and done, or whatever it was.
Only 2 there are hands, unless you're General Krell, and then there's 4.
Bonnie Burton is no longer with Lucasfilm and StarWars.com. The company has laid her out.
Off.
Laid her off. Yeah.
You said it,
she's
buddy.
Out of there. She laid her off. She announced today on Twitter. She wrote content for the website. For those of you who don't know, she handled their social media. Started work around 2003 for the run-up to Revenge of the Sith. Outspoken. She's well known. I'm sure anybody listening to this podcast knows her. She's very outspoken about women and fandom, something that's been the subject of much debate this week in the Star Wars fan community. I'm not really sure why, but we certainly here at Star Wars Report wish her the absolute best in her continuing career.
Farewell, Bonnie. We will miss your humor.
Yes.
Well, I'll still get to see your humor just on your private Twitter account.
That's true. No more Bonnie humor on at Star Wars, unfortunately.
You know, there's always somewhere out there. There's an astromech playing taps.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nancy in the chat says that she was looking forward to seeing Bonnie at Celebration 6, and I wonder if it would be possible that she would still come. I mean, I don't think it's like, oh well, I'm not working for Lucasfilm anymore, so all of a sudden I hate Star Wars. So I wonder if she would be there anyway. But I don't know.
Although you do have to wonder about the other side of that. I mean, you know, you've been working for Star Wars for how long?
True,
do you really want to go and do one more event? When it becomes something you're paid to do, I could see how that could slowly kind of suck all the joy and energy right out of it. I mean, you're paid to enjoy it at this point. I don't know. To me, that seems like winning all the way around. But I would think after like almost a decade of it, it's got to wear on you to a degree.
Yeah, it would probably be nice to kind of take a bit of a break from it. I mean, it's the reason that podcasts like ours sometimes go on hiatus. It's like sometimes you just kind of get tired.
Gotta take a break, yeah. Yeah, speaking of somebody who might have to take a break soon, Star Wars The Old Republic has just lost 400,000 extra 3 zeros subscribers.
Wow.
Yeah, they dropped from 1.7 million to 1.3 million. The publisher Electronic Arts said in a recent earnings statement. That's nearly 25% of the subscribers. So that ain't good. It could be, you know, launch day subscribers have stopped, you know, playing at this point, loss of interest. It could just be that there isn't quite that big of a market, evidently for.
I think like Andrew was saying at the beginning of the show, you know, when people are leveling off right away, and these people, I'm targeting you hardcore gamers, and you know who you are. I'm using that term right. You're out there, and you played that game and had it up to the moment the download content was ready, beaten, and you're just like, okay, this is boring, I'm ready for something else. I could see a large contingent, and in this case being about what? How much is it? 40,000 people or something? I could see them being there going, I'm bored. I need something else. Oh, come on. Oh, download content. Oh, that was done in an hour. I need something else. You know, waiting 2 days. Boom, they got it done in 10 minutes. I used to be like this back in the Nintendo days. You know, Nintendo 64. Woo, yeah. Some GoldenEye, Rogue Squadron. Oh, good times. But I'm not there anymore, so I'm on the side of going, wow, really? That's a big number. But when you think about it, you know, what is it? Yeah. 1 out of every 4 of us is a really hardcore gamer, okay? That number adds up over a while. I could see this actually being the case. You know, a lot of people reach that 50 and they're just bored.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess that's probably somewhat natural, though I can't say I'm that surprised.
EA said that they released as a statement that the decrease was due to, quote, casual and trial players cycling out of the game. And that was basically those who were given free trials at the beginning. I think everyone had free access to it for some time, I know. And I know we got it. We got an early test trial, so.
Yeah. I played it.
My barber said he got bored with it after about a week and a half. He's like, you know, he's one of those type. He was a WoWer. And, that's one side of it I don't understand. I mean, WoW was able to, you know, World of Warcraft has been able to put out content. They're always able to throw out some new download stuff, keep the people hooked. And Tor looks like it has the same potential. But it's one of those where you have to wonder if, like, maybe they started it a little early. Maybe they should have sat back a little longer and had more download content at the ready. I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, you'd have to have kind of like the eye behind the scene to know what's really going on.
Yeah, but the possibility of perhaps it was released just a little too early for them. You know, maybe they were more scrambling to make the date on time and couldn't worry about doing extra content, that sort of stuff. I don't know, but it does... The game has gotten a number of good reviews, if I am correct in this. And people do seem to quite like it, but there does seem like a portion of the fandom that's like, I've gamed for so long, this is boring, I've already beaten everything, and all I'm just doing is just kind of wandering around in this little world. So, I need to go back to playing World of Warcraft.
But I need to get my +5 dexterity belt!
Well, yeah, it's. I think it's just genuine loss of interest in general. let's talk about it. The Avengers. Oh, there's no link, no theme.
Ah!
Mm-hmm.
Oh well. All right. So,
Well, do you want to announce that this is? Do you go ahead and play our ending music for the post show?
Yes, but before we do that, I want to talk about briefly. Before you guys are still listening, we got a number of you guys listening live, tuning in live. We've actually got a video version of this. I'm not sure what we'll do with it, but it's just an experiment to see if it works. And it seems to be working on Ustream. And for you guys listening live, we do appreciate you tuning in and spreading the word about what we're doing. Speaking of spreading the word, next week, next Thursday, about 7:30 p.m. I say roundabout, it's such a large group, you can never really be absolutely certain. But right around then is when you'll want to be ready for our live Attack of the Clones commentary. We're going to actually be doing it right here on Ustream or Google Plus or whatever we figure out. Stay tuned. The best way to do that is... That's a teaser. Is... I've got to have some bed music. There we go. Yes, thank you guys for tuning in. Best way to find out is to stay tuned with our social media. Facebook and Twitter. That is the place to keep up with us, and we'll tell you guys all about the what's, the who's, the when's, the where's. But we've got Nathan P. Butler joining us for the commentary. We've got myself, Bethany, Mark, we'll all be there. We've got Pete Morrison from Lightsaber Rattling join us, writer for the Star Wars Report, Aaron Goins joining us, quite a round table. 2 hours and 20 minutes of pure unadulterated Star Wars fun as we talk about number 2, or episode number 5 in production order, a.k.a. the Anakin-Padme romance. Was it well portrayed? What was lacking? Did you cry? Let's be honest. Did you cry? We'll find out next week.
I laughed.
I cried. It moved me, Bob. And not like that. Yeah. So, thank you guys for tuning into this episode. You can find out everything we do. Everything we've ever done is on StarWarsReport.com. Written content, blog posts, the Swampa's Lair podcast, Star Wars Beyond the Films, Expanded Universe podcast. Is also held there, so you can go check out that. And hey, if you don't mind, swing over by iTunes. We'd really appreciate you guys leaving a review or a rating, or preferably both, over on the iTunes Music Store, and that helps more people find out about this particular podcast. All right, and folks, don't go away. I'm looking at you. Don't go away. We're gonna talk Avengers. Hulk smash. I've been running around doing that all week. We're going to talk some Avengers right after the jump in our after show and talk about, I think, Mark, you like comic books? You like, you know, Marvel? A little bit.
The Bantha Poodoo in the desert?
So, I think we're going to have some fun right now. We're just doing fast and loose conversation. We might do some informal planning of the commentary on the after show. But that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this particular episode of Star Wars Report. You know you're a Star Wars fan when you're doing a live commentary of Attack of the Clones 10 years after it's made on Ustream. All right, that's going to do it. I feel a little goofy. All right, that wraps it up, folks. Thanks for listening to episode 45 of the Star Wars Report. We're out of here. And remember, many Bothans died. Everybody wave. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum. For those of you not watching, listening live or watching the video version, I've become Riley the Terminator again. Da-dun-dun-dun-dun. Da-dun-dun. By the way, I love Terminator Salvation. That was a great film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen any of the original ones, but it was really good. I don't know why people disliked it so much.
I thought they were all... You know, Riley?
Yeah.
And there came a day. Mm-hmm. A day unlike any other when Earth's mightiest heroes found themselves united against a common threat. On that day, the Avengers were born to fight the foes no single superhero could withstand.
Yes.
You have to do it right.
All
right. You got to give it the original.
Nicely done. Well said, sir. Well said. And you say that, and now I have to pull up the Avengers trailer and throw it over on the screen. But I gotta say, overall impressions. Let's start with 30
quick,
seconds or less.
Quick. Oh.
Okay, stopping. Yes, what's up?
Spoiler alert for the Avengers.
I think this should be very clear by now, but yes, thank you for clarifying.
Just in
case.
We're
gonna talk about the movie, so if you haven't seen the movie, might not want to actually be seeing the trailer here. I'm gonna cover up your face, Mark, for a second while we watch the trailer. And we can talk over it. But yeah, there it is. Avengers overall thoughts. And go.
I really loved it. That's my overall thought.
I said 30 seconds or less, not 3 seconds or less.
Okay.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Welcome to Star Wars Report, this latest episode of the Clone Wars. Pretty cool. You find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Exactly. I really liked the characterization in this movie. I thought all of the characters were played well, had very good dialogue, had good interaction with each other. I thought the female characters were portrayed well. I thought the male characters were portrayed well.
We'll get into that.
Yes.
We'll get into it.
And Loki made a pretty good villain.
So when we needed them.
Yes, he did.
He was
Tom Hiddleston.
He was a little annoying in Thor, but he made a good villain.
3 seconds is up in 5, 4, 3, 2, Mark.
The best superhero movie ever! Ever, my friends! Okay, I could go on and on about this movie, but I'm just gonna leave it with the Hulk. Puny God! When you get to the scene, you will know what I am talking about. My favorite part, I was screaming, fist pumping in the air! Yes! It was great.
Oh,
took the whole family.
Crowd cheered, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's such a good movie. I'm looking at the trailer. I'm just getting all distracted now. Oh, that's pretty. That's pretty stuff. All right, my 30 seconds or less trailer. Avengers, having seen all of the superhero films leading up to it, with the exception of Iron Man 2, I believe, and kind of The Incredible Hulk. Although
that was streaming on Netflix. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. But we watched Captain America shortly before, actually. Very good. And I enjoyed it. You know, I'll just say this. The Avengers had a cast of many characters that were competing for screen time. And that's something that George Lucas has often said with the prequels, is that there's so many characters, but they were balanced beautifully well. Every character was extremely well developed and integral to the story, not just thrown in with their fun one-liner. And so, but part number two, I loved that the movie didn't take itself too seriously. It didn't actually really, try to be all serious and deep about it. They know what it was, being true to itself, and it's just a fun, good versus evil action superhero film. And that's why we like comic books and comic book movies.
Well,
my 30 seconds review. And now we can get into it.
I would like to add to your point there, in that Batman Begins and The Dark Knight both had very serious tones, and that worked very well for those films. But when you have a movie like The Avengers, I mean, with Tony Stark, come on. You can't take yourself too seriously if you're Tony Stark.
No.
And no. Yes, Nancy said she loved the part when Hulk punches Thor. That was hilarious. Just like, boom. I loved that part.
And see, that works because you're on camera, so you can actually kind of see.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I'm a long time, and I say long time, it's only been of recently. When I got back into Star Wars comics, I got back into Marvel. And I say got back because I used to be addicted to Spider-Man comics, like I am Star Wars in general. And it was Spider-Man's fault I got hooked on the Avengers, because all of a sudden, hey, Spider-Man's a new Avenger, him and Wolverine. Hey, winning combination. But the thing I love the most about this movie was that watching it was like reading any of the Avengers comics that I follow. I mean, I follow the new Avengers, Avengers Academy, regular Avengers. There's so many different ones I follow, and every one of them is great. They all have something that they bring to the table, and it's all awesome action with great humor. The Avengers comics are some of the more funnier ones out there, right next to the Parker. I mean, if you've ever read a Spider-Man comic, you know Parker's humor, and it's laced all throughout the Avengers comics. I mean, they push a lot of envelopes in a lot of ways, but if you've watched the movie and you like the humor there, you would actually like the Avengers comics, because it was – Joss knows his stuff, man. The man knows comic humor.
Yeah.
He does, and he did such a great job with the overall tone of the film. And I mean, it's not a short movie. It's not a short movie at all, but it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was really unlike any superhero movie. Super Pastor, that's Bialidocious. I just started to work, I don't know the other Doshis. but it was unlike any other superhero movie in that the way it was portrayed, it didn't have that one central character. And, how about the Hulk? Mark Ruffalo.
He did a good job. Like, I saw
the modeling is great.
I saw a portion of, what was it, The Incredible Hulk? Is that the one leading up to this?
Yes.
The Hulk? The Incredible
Hulk. Yeah, it's The Incredible Hulk. Okay. I had to go and look.
Mark just kind of looks back to the side. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I saw just a few minutes of The Incredible Hulk. He was running from police at the stage, and I liked the actor, but the movie didn't really grab my attention that much. So actually, we've seen everything but The Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2 of the Avengers movie collection now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a couple to catch up. So what's the next one, Mark? You're this big superhero guy. What movie are we looking forward, Marvel-wise, besides Spider-Man, in 2013?
I'm already looking forward to the next Avengers movie, but I immediately started thinking of spinoffs. I'm like, man, they could do the next Avengers. They got the West Coast Avengers. Oh, man, Avengers Academy.
But that's the
problem with these comic movies, is that there are so many really good plots that happen kind of like, I don't know, I'd say like third or fourth season into the comic. And there are some great ones. I mean, there was the Secret Invasion, Civil War. That honestly, that's what I see the second one being. There seemed to be talk of registration. We saw the Avengers Initiative. Granted, it's a different universe than the Marvel comics, but I could see them going in the Civil War direction next very easily, though.
Well, they do have an Avengers 2 coming, and I know they have a Thor 2, a Captain America 2, and an Iron Man 3 coming.
It's funny
looking forward to is The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh my goodness, have you seen the trailer?
I finally did during the Avengers one, but I don't know, I'm just... I'm not there. I'm ready to ride the Marvel train at this point. I mean, the last few Batmans were great, but I'm not really expecting too much out of this one.
Really?
They went with Bane, and it's like Nightfall was the only comic Bane, as far as I can remember, or him being anything that was cool. So I don't know. I'm just not there.
Hmm. Well, see, I guess I don't. I know nothing about the comics, pretty much. Period. Yeah. So I go off of. I say, oh look, who's Harley Quinn? No, I'm not that bad. But I don't know a whole lot, so I just kind of assume that, you know, Bane is this well-known, famous comic character. But it sounds like a very deep-throated Liam Neeson is voicing Bane. But yeah, that's like whole separate side note. How true to the comics was the movie? Out of curiosity, Mark.
Well, it's not. It's its own universe. I mean, in the original, well. And even that, it's hard to say original because the team has changed so many times. Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor were always your basic ones. But the ones I remembered growing up with were Hank Pym, which was Giant Man / Ant-Man, and Janet Van Dyne, who was the Wasp, who he ended up marrying. I was expecting to see them in there, but I really, you know, them putting in Black Widow worked. I mean, I actually enjoyed her character a lot, not just for the quote unquote sex appeal. I mean, I've got two daughters now, so watching a hero that was coming through there and just mincemeating the gentleman with her and the way she did her interrogations. Oh man, I loved it. She's sitting there like hanging over the edge of a building and she's just like gets a call. I'm in the middle of working. I've got this guy right where I want him. It's like, oh, what is she talking about? Then all of a sudden she's just kicking everybody in the room's hinies. You're like, yes.
Yeah.
I really liked that scene. But one thing that Riley and I talked about after the movie was how when she was going to interrogate Loki and Loki kind of turned the tables on her and started talking to her and she had a breakdown.
Yes.
That most female characters in movies would have that sensitive breakdown moment right there.
Yep.
But she... whether or not she was faking it, she turned it around and got the information that she was supposed to get. And she completely, she pulled the wool over Loki's eyes and
perfectly
went from being the, sensitive female with love issues to, yeah, I might have a few love issues, but I'm not going to let that get in the way of my job, which is to get information right now.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
that's where
with a lot of themes too that were true to the comics. I mean, cause Hawkeye's character, he's a reformed villain in the comics. He was actually a villain first, and him joining the Avengers was a long road to redemption for him. In fact, now he leads the Secret Avengers. But the way they played it in the movie with him going to Loki's side kind of fulfilled that character arc that you saw in the original comic. I mean, it's like, he's a good guy, but he was a bad guy. Now he's back to being a good guy again. Although I will admit, when there was the scene with him and Black Widow, and he came to, and he was back to himself, I almost for a minute didn't believe him. I was like, is this a fast one? This is Loki being the trickster god. I know it.
You're staring at him like.
Well, going back to what you said, yeah, I brought that up shortly after the movie because it occurred to me that was where Joss Whedon's vision really kind of came through and you kind of saw it bleed through that Buffy the Vampire, where I honestly thought that in traditional Hollywood style, they were showing the strong female to have a vulnerable side. And she said, you monster.
Yeah.
Is at that point when she says that. And I believed it for that split second until he slipped. I even forget what the information was, but look, he slipped and I was like, oh my goodness, he went there. And it was perfect. Although there was still that element of sex appeal that they do with female superheroes. And it's still just like that. As a culture, we've gotten better in terms of comic books portrayal of women, but I don't think we've gotten a lot better. I don't know. Mark, you're the big comic reader.
But if I can add there, all of the characters were kind of typical superheroes in that they had their costumes, they had their bulked out armor or, you know, the Hulk or, Captain America, but none of them were wearing spandex and none of them wound up shirtless or with torn shirts. You know, that always kind of gets me like, really?
Oh, we lost Mark.
You have the torn shirt right across the midriff, like Padme in episode two.
Padme, yeah. So,
but that didn't happen either.
So yeah. That was so, nice. I guess overall, I really enjoyed it. We got a couple more minutes to give up our final thoughts, but that was the Joss Whedon thing coming through, showing her as a much more dynamic and strong character, and I vastly prefer that to Natalie Portman's character.
My
Thor.
My favorite character in the movie, though, in the Avengers movie,
okay,
was Tony Stark.
Oh, let's talk about the end. Let's talk about the end.
Tony Stark was an amazing character.
I don't have the chat room in front of me, and I'm sure there's a great discussion going on.
There is, except that we lost internet. So a discussion
abruptly
stopped. I didn't
know if it was
stopped.
Mark or if it was
nah,
it's
us.
It's us. It's just us.
Just
we're all
us.
Alone.
Yeah. Oh, well. But what I wanted to mention was Tony Stark, while he puts on this, I'm a billionaire, philanthropist, playboy act, but really, I think he's come to stay true to Pepper Potts, and that he really does.
I think we
love
missed something
her.
In Iron Man 2, by
yeah,
the way.
But yeah, exactly. but
spoiler alert:
he puts on this flippant "I don't really care" attitude when he really does care, and you can tell when he goes to save the world. He grabs the rocket, gets shot into another universe, into space, and blows the whole thing up, and he doesn't reach Pepper Potts. Again, a moment in the movie where you think he's going to reach her. They're going to have a tearful conversation. Tony, I love you, but I know you have to do this.
It is one liner, and he's like, it's been,
And you would expect it to be a, Pepper, I love you, but, saving the world is my job, or something along those lines. But he didn't reach her, and there was such pain in his character that at that moment. He realized, I will never be able to see this through to the end.
Yep. And that's where you kind of...
That was
a theme in the movie where it's Captain America's all, you take off their suit of armor and what are you? Billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
Yeah.
But...
I think you can pull Mark back in now.
I know. There he is.
Okay.
Look at that. With the videos coming on.
He's back.
It's back. Look at that. Purdy.
But we were talking about Tony Stark, and I was mentioning how in the very end rocket scene where he takes the rocket up, and he makes the decision to sacrifice himself.
We're closing our final 4 minutes, by the way.
When he can't reach Pepper, it's just...
Yeah, it's not your typical Hollywood formula there either, right? It's usually his last words, and then he goes up, and everybody thinks he's dead, and he returns. They kind of took it out where... He, didn't reach her on the phone. And in the same way, the classic Hollywood formula of the vulnerable Black Widow was where she messed with Loki.
Okay. I did want to close off with this, though.
Okay, so we'll begin closing thoughts with you, Bethany.
There's an IGN article where Star Wars meets the Avengers. They compare Steve Rogers to Luke Skywalker. Innocence called upon to find the great power hidden deep inside to fight tyranny. They inherit cool weapons and they never get the girl. then they compare Tony Stark and Han Solo. The lovable rogues, and they all both have the sweetest rides in town, and they always get the girl. They compare the Hulk to Chewbacca. Fearsome yet cuddly, they suffer from language barriers. The monsters who, on the outside, are beasts, but they must quell their own inner beasts. And then they compare the pairing, if you will, of Thor and Loki and Obi-Wan and Anakin, sort of brothers who inexorably turn against each other. One becomes a good guy, one becomes a bad guy. And Natalie Portman fits in there somewhere too. Star Wars and Avengers, and she kind of knows Thor and whatever.
And your final thoughts, Mark?
I will say that I absolutely love the modeling of the Hulk, the fact that when he would Hulk out, he would have Ruffalo's little 5-day shadow. That was awesome. There was so much action, so much humor. It was hands down my favorite movie. The fact that we had Mariah Hill, a character I love to see come to life. Robin Chbosky from How I Met Your Mother. If you don't know other stuff she's on, I don't remember
character?
Her name.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And when they had the helicarrier come out of the water, I knew what was going to happen. I was telling my kids, oh, watch, this is going to be great. But I think the thing that gets me the most excited, though, was at the very end, before the last bit of the credits, and the aliens turn and they're talking to a guy and that guy turns his head and it is Thanatos. And I was like the first one in my theater to know who he was. I'm like, oh my God. And my wife's just like, what? And I'm like, I can't tell you. I couldn't even begin to tell you. Oh, and just the thought of where they could go with that. I'm just like, ah. And it's one of these things I saw on, it was on Facebook, and they had one of the characters from Lord of the Rings where he says, one does not tread into the gates of Mordor lightly. And it says, one does not go to a Marvel movie and leave without seeing all the way through the credits. And that is so true. Because my dad, he calls me up like last night. Literally right after it happened, he's just going on and on. And I'm like, so did you watch the thing at the end? Oh, yeah, who was that guy? And I tell him, and he's like, okay, no, but who is he? And I'm like, but did you watch the thing at the end? And he's like, yeah, with the guy. And I'm like, no, after the credits. Like, there was one after the credits. I'm like, dude, there's always two. One at the beginning of the credits and one at the very end.
Yeah.
Oh. And I loved it. That was the best. Was awesome. Not one word spoken. And I was just, everybody in the theater was cracking up. I went and saw this with my local comic book group and they rented the entire theater out. So it was awesome. My daughter, when we were watching the trailers, people were all screaming at the trailers, getting all excited for the G.I. Joe trailer.
Oh,
and my daughter's like, yeah, Dad, what's with these people? What are they yelling? And I'm like, really, honey, you're in a theater full of geeks. It's what we do. It's okay.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, another character. Nick Fury.
You've got a minute
awesome
and 30
guy.
Seconds.
And he's very similar to Mace Windu.
Yes,
he is. It's Sam Jackson.
I think he is Mace Windu secretly.
Yeah, he's always
in a parallel
Mace
universe.
Windu.
He landed he survived the blast on Coruscant and got a black eye and the lost.
Exactly.
And they also they kept his character cool because he had his own agenda. I mean, even in the comics, he's always been someone you can't trust. And I love the fact that that played in right in the beginning of the episodes. And the way he used Agent Coulson to trick them all into becoming the Avengers was epic.
Yeah.
And well, we're closing out in 1 minute. I'll give my final thoughts. Wait a second. No, I don't really
hog all the thoughts myself.
No, I don't. I really enjoyed the movie, and I think that it was a Hallmark superhero film that had changed in themes that treated women more respectfully than other superhero films that I had seen. And I'll enjoy it. And I thank everybody for tuning into this episode. You guys got 20 seconds. Let's say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Wait, bye.
So long.
We need to go see the Avengers again.
Say goodbye.
Waiting for the second viewing. All right. We'll see you guys next week.